Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Just go into detail a little bit of just your background a little bit, and just where you kind of got to the point where you became an instructor, and sort of the firearms that you typically work with when you're doing these instructions.
I had a lot of real good schools and instructions while I was in the military. Continued shooting with a lot of local guys around here that were pretty high tech, different team guys and stuff like that. I did a lot of shooting with these guys over the years. Did a little bit of competitive shooting for a while. Injuries took their toll on the job. I still felt I had a lot to offer. A lot of people over the years always came to me for help with firearms training, specifically pistol shooting. So I figured I still had something to give. Seniority has its rights and privileges. And the senior guys go to the range if they request it. So that's what I did. That's where I wound up.
Looking back over the past week and a half, obviously the incident that took place in Buffalo, and just yesterday the incident that took place down in Uvalde, Texas, with 18-year-olds having AR-15s going to supermarkets and schools and shooting up people, killing people, unfortunately. Just when you hear of incidents like that, what are some of the first things that go through your mind?
First thing, always, it's because I've been a police officer so long. I worked on the east side of Buffalo my entire career. I tell all of the students that I run across, and I always have, I tell them that police work is still, in its true entity, is still the most noblest of jobs. You're out there in the community, and it's pretty simple. Good people need you, and bad guys need to go to jail. Nobody deserves to be a victim. Nobody deserves to be a victim. I don't care what your social class is, what your economic class is, where you live, anything. Nobody deserves to be picked on, belittled, or violated in any way. Nobody deserves to be hated. Nobody deserves to be hated. And the only ones that do that are the bad guys. And that's what this work, that line of work is about. It's about being on that line right there between the good and the bad. And there's far more good people than there are bad.
Looking at the way that these attacks were carried out, they seemed like the threats were there, and there were signs that were there leading up to the actual incident that occurs. And a lot of people go into the question of, well, these AR-15s are being available, or other assault rifles that typically are more weapons for military purposes or for security purposes than they are for, we've heard, you don't need a gun to, you don't need an assault gun to go out hunting or anything like that. Just, what kind of measures do you think need to go into looking at trying to make sure that these assault rifles are not getting into the hands of the wrong type of people?
If the term assault rifle is definitely used, I just listened to a couple of different videos and kind of just chuckled about it, because a lot of people that are running around screaming about banning assault weapons and assault rifles and their military grade are automatic weapons. The ammunition that they use is no different than store-bought ammunition that we have here. So it's absolutely no different. The ballistic results, the components, the civilian version is just semi-automatic. Now, I understand some people go, well, you don't need 30 rounds for deer hunting. Well, no, you don't. But if you were a hog hunter down in Louisiana and Mississippi, and you're running across packs of 20, 30, 40 you know, 300-pound animals that are destroying thousands of dollars of your cropland a day, well, a 30-round magazine is definitely what you need. So it has its purpose. Nobody's running around with a 30-round magazine hunting squirrels. All right. The whole idea of a 30-round magazine, it's self-preservation. It's self-defense. Somebody kicks in your door at 3 o'clock in the morning. Guess what? Nobody is coming. Nobody's going to be there in time to stop the heinous things that could happen. Absolutely nobody. You know, people with evil intentions are going to do evil things. That magazine style, 30-round magazine style, is banned here in New York State. The kid had to go to Pennsylvania to go and get it. He had nothing but ill intention. He would have driven to Ohio with his intentions. He would have driven to Ohio, Kentucky. He would have went somewhere to do what he could have did. He would have, I mean, we've seen it before with people with mental illness. You know, they'll pack their car full of explosives and drive to Oklahoma City, you know, to carry out what they thought they wanted to do. It's, I think a lot of this gun violence problems that we have when it comes to these active shooter events, it's actually a huge mental health crisis disguised as gun violence. You know, these two kids both had a history of behavior that should have been looked at and scrutinized a little better. Should every 18-year-old kid be held at fault because of what these two kids did in the last week and a half? I don't think so, because there's 30 million 18-year-old kids that are out there. There's 5% of those kids want an AR as a graduation present so they can shoot in their backyard. And it's, you know, why should they be held liable for what these two kids with huge mental health crisis problems? And there's a lot that can be done, but this entire problem has to be looked at differently, because what these politicians and their agenda are pushing on penalizing law-abiding citizens and the good people in this country, particularly in this case, in this state, what they're doing is totally wrong. They are not fixing the problem. They're putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. They're not looking at the problem for where the problem lies. Nobody's held responsible for their bad behavior. They're giving excuses. These kids here, they threaten students around them. Their counselors annotated they're a problem, but yet they're still right back in the classrooms. They alienate themselves, and then they're alienated from the people around them. And they're not held responsible for their bad behavior. And that's what the problem comes down to. Local authorities get involved, but there's a point where there's nothing that they can do other than give a referral, and then it's up to parents, it's up to the community, it's up to the judges, it's up to somebody else to take responsibility to push that a little further. And then people needs to be known that there's a problem here somewhere, whether it's to the local authorities, you know, maybe the state, you know, some mental health crisis team needs to get involved and come and visit and interview this kid. I do not believe in red flag laws, but outside of on background checks when you go to buy a weapon, if you have any sort of mental ailment, nothing's annotated in your record, just your criminal history is annotated in them NICS checks. Do I think maybe to help things out the way things are right now, that maybe a little of their mental history and maybe it has to be designated into phases or types of mental ailments that you have that you could be red flagged on, and maybe it's kept on file with the state police, you know, or some authority within a NICS check where, you know, if you've got a mental ailment that it's annotated and you're red flagged. You know, but you've got HIPAA, all this HIPAA stuff that's out there right now, and doctor-patient confidentiality, and that's where the problem lies. When you go to a counselor and a counselor goes, this guy's got some sort of mental deficiency, or this person has an exasperated, violent personality, you know, it's between the physician and the patient right there. Nobody else knows about it. So who's to be held responsible for this person's, you know, they're aiding in this problem by not putting it out there where other people have access to the information. And I'm not saying because of HIPAA, I'm not saying that it needs to be broadcast and put on the news that there's an issue with this one person in your neighborhood. But at least at some form, somewhere here within the New York State government, just say here in New York State, somewhere here in the New York State government, there needs to be some listing that that people are exhibiting these behaviors and therefore shouldn't have access to these weapons.
As somebody, that has run into a number of different people in your days of training and shooting, what would you do if there was a situation where you were talking with somebody or you were interacting with somebody who was training, but noticed that there might be some sort of mental issue here where I'm not sure if they're safe to be able to have a gun or to be able to buy or purchase any guns? Can you provide any input on that in terms of just how you might be able to, how anyone would might be able to help or mentally evaluate this person or anybody with these kind of problems?
On the law enforcement side, when we teach in the academy, we understand that sometimes people have bad days. And us, and there's plenty of, we got a lot of great instructors from every municipality here in Erie County that we all send officers, every agency sends officers to the academy to help teach. And we've got a great band of instructors. And everybody, we do a lot of one-on-one with these kids. So we really, all these new police officers that are coming out twice a year, that we get to know these kids. So we realize that sometimes people have bad days. I don't think we've ever had an issue where we've had to take somebody out of firearms training and say that you're no good for this job. I don't think we've ever been there. If we have, it's done on an individual lesson where not everybody knows about it anyway, but it's taken care of. We realize sometimes people need a break because they had a bad day. There's stuff going on in their personal lives. We address that issue. We get them right back on track. As far as doing individual lessons, I don't do group lessons. I was doing individual lessons. When I do that, I actually have programs that we do with CERT pistols, with Matrix systems, with blue guns. So you kind of get to evaluate people to see what they've got going on, what their understanding, what their competency level is at that point, even before you get them into shooting a real gun. So you really know there. And I have had a couple incidents where it was like, you know what, maybe we need to stick with doing this for a while and really see where you want to go with this before we go any further.
When it comes to hearing these terminologies, we've heard the president, we've heard others say, you know, common sense gun laws. What does that necessarily entail in your mind in terms of what the common sense for gun laws means?
You know, let's just go with the whole common sense part. You know, there's a whole bunch of things that let's just call the majority of everybody's day and livelihood and everything. There's all these social acceptable norms. And it don't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, right, left, up, down, doesn't matter what you are. There's a whole big portion of your normalcy in your life that runs within these social norms, and it's accepted by everybody. They might not like everything that you do or you speak about. They may not totally agree with you, but everybody knows you got your opinion, I've got my opinion, and those are the social norms. It's when you start annotating things that are out of the social norms, these destructive behaviors, that's the things that need to be watched. They need to be annotated, and there needs to be a place where that stuff is annotated. So when somebody does go to get a firearm, whether it's a pistol, rifle, running down to Walmart to grab a shotgun, that it's annotated that maybe you don't fit within these social norms, so therefore you shouldn't be allowed to have a weapon. And there needs to be something there. You can't punish all the good law-abiding citizens that, you know, for 99% of the time that their weapon is stored safely somewhere, collecting dust until the next deer season, until the next time they go out to their camp and they shoot 22s in the backyard. Or they want to run around with an AR on their land and do a little bit of shooting because they've got a military background, because their dad or mom had a military background, because they grew up around this stuff, and they're fine with it, and everything's good with it. It's just that little percentage of people that live in their brain outside of the social norms, and those are the people that hurt other people and victimize other people and do heinous events like these things that happen. It's those people. The problem within them people, you know, that needs to be identified and that needs to be fixed. It needs to be fixed on that little piece. not around everybody else, because you're still not fixing the problem. And that's what they're doing. But they'll, these politicians in the courts, they will put, the politicians will push the courts to push legislation and action on stuff that does not fix the problem. And that's where we're at. And that's right exactly where we're at, is there. They're not fixing the problem. They are appeasing a small group of people that have the loudest voice, because everybody else with the bigger voice, they're working. They don't have time for this. They're not getting involved. They're sitting back and they're going, why are my rights being violated when I abide by the rules and the laws? And that's the far majority, is that. They're abiding, they're peacekeeping, law-abiding people, and they're being penalized for the action of a very, very small percentage of people that are, that have, and for the most part, they have a mental problem. There's a huge mental problem in the United States right now, and it's not being worked on. And it's not being, with the red flag laws, when they tried to pass them before, a lot of the problem with getting any of that pushed through is because it was all wrong. They wanted to penalize everybody for a bad day instead of just kind of inoculating the people that shouldn't be around this stuff. They shouldn't be allowed to own a firearm. They shouldn't be allowed to purchase a firearm. And it should be annotated somewhere, but you'd had doctors and people and, counselors and psychiatrists and that said, oh, it violates patient-doctor confidentiality by letting the state know that this person, you know, should not be around firearms because of their mental status. And then you get the ones that are on, and we'll just call it the more liberal way of thinking, or the left side of thinking, by which I don't believe in left or right anyway. I believe there's just ill thinking both ways. But you get people on that far left that scream that nobody needs this because that's their opinion. Instead of, you know, your opinion for a small group shouldn't persecute the larger law-abiding group. And the people that do have all their scruples about them, and they've got good moral turpitude, and you know they're upstanding citizens, they shouldn't be penalized for the deficiencies in a small group of people. And that small group of people with mental deficiencies, it needs to be annotated, and there needs to be some help out there for these people.
So when it comes to the gun laws and trying to address that, are there any sort of common sense issues with gun laws that you feel need to be addressed now in order to try and prevent or at least limit the amount of instances where these heinous crimes happen? Because unfortunately, I think a lot of people know that these instances continue to happen and they're going to continue to happen. But is there anything that you think definitely does need to happen in order for it to at least be limited in any way?
People need to be held responsible from the onset, not coddled. And when there is an issue, they need to quit blaming the issue on something other than where that issue is, and they need to identify where it came from. Bad parenting, you know, absentee parents, bad parenting, single-parent households. You know what I mean? That's the start in some of these. Some of these kids are just coddled so long that their parents really don't take an active part in their life, and it starts at a younger age. Some of these kids they need counseling, and they're not given counseling, and things spiral out of control. You know, going around killing people is abnormal behavior. I don't care if it's just abnormal behavior. It just, you know, it's not a right process. And then nobody's held personally and individually held responsible for their individual actions and their decision-making process. And that's a problem. There's not enough mental health guidance and counseling that's out there. That's a big thing. A lot of that stuff was shut down back in the 80s and early 90s. We used to have Forest Lawn up on Grant, where you could take people with problems. You can't do that. I recently found out that even some of the shelters and that, you know, homeless people that have problems, that they can't even just walk into a shelter and have a place, a bite to eat, and a spot for the night, that they're mandated that they've got to go and go register with social services, and they have to pay their way through this. That's not helping. That's only causing a bigger problem. But you want to penalize everybody else for everything else when what you need to fix the problem that they're not even listening to.
when it comes to stricter gun laws, in terms of especially like age, I know that, that Governor Hochul mentioned she wants to go from ages 18 to 21 to purchase guns for that matter. Where are you at in terms of the age, but also just with other stricter gun laws that either should be enforced or shouldn't be enforced? Where are you at with that?
Well, once again, trying to change something, it's you're putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound once again, right on that one. You're not fixing the problem. You're penalizing all these 18-year-old kids. Here in New York State, you're penalizing all these 18-year-old kids because of one 18-year-old kid that is just an evil person. So you're going to penalize all these other kids. You're going to penalize all of these 18-year-old kids that are graduating from high school. A lot of them are getting ready to go into the military. And you're telling them, well, you can go in the military, fight for your country, but you can't buy a shotgun in New York State, you know, to go deer hunting with. You know, it's totally wrong. You're not fixing the problem at all. The biggest problem lies in a lot of the bail reforms, the biggest problem with not holding people responsible. And well, some people aren't going to agree with me on this, and the people that don't agree with me on this are people that have never been involved in law enforcement or the judicial system, is gun offenses normally get thrown out in a plea deal. So you can arrest somebody, because I've had it happen before. I've in my 29-year police career, I've had it happen multiple times where I've arrested other coppers that I know have arrested people. It's a second, third, fourth time that they've been arrested with a gun, but seeing they've never been convicted of a gun charge, it doesn't appear on there. So they're back out there because it is no bail. They're out there with their bad behavior, right back to what they were doing, because they're not held responsible. They weren't held at the onset. They're not held responsible. Several years ago, over the course of my 20-some years, that the federal government has put out a couple of programs, and they were all weed and seed programs. Trigger Lock was one, Project Exile was another. Every time they come out with another grant, they just give it another name. And what these were all designed for were to take bad guys that were previous convicted felons that were caught a second time with a firearm, and to send them out of state. They would send them to Utah, federal penitentiaries in Indiana, Colorado, New Mexico. They would send them far away from where they lived, and this was throughout the country. They'd send them to opposite ends of the country for their 5 years of incarceration for the mere possession of a convicted felon having a firearm. And every time that, and you can look this one up, you can FOIA request the numbers, that every time one of these programs got deep-rooted in here, just in the city of Buffalo and Erie County, we within 1 year after the conviction started, we'd see a decrease in shootings, homicides would go down, and we'd have a whole lot less bad guys were carrying guns, because they didn't want to go to New Mexico getting caught with a gun. They didn't want to go to New Mexico. Their friends, they wouldn't have any friends in jail. We're here, you go to jail for 6 months, it's half of your buddies from the neighborhood are in jail. They don't care. But when you're sending them out to New Mexico and Arizona and Utah, their girlfriends aren't coming to visit them, their parents, their brothers, their sisters, their friends aren't coming to visit with them, and they're gone for 5 years. So we would see a downtick in the amount of gun arrests, along with the amount of shootings, the amount of robberies with guns, the amount of homicides. They always went down. And those programs were always tossed on out because of the confines of the demographics that were being arrested. But, in the city of Buffalo, I'm not going to say no street names or anything like that, but here in the city of Buffalo, when we attacked them, depending upon what part of the city we were going after, we would take entire street gangs completely out. And then there would be the neighborhoods would become a lot quieter and, you know, just a better way of life there. They work. The programs worked. Bail reform doesn't work. That's a problem. The fact that New York State, along with the federal government, have cut back on all these mental health programs, that has become a problem, because they've given too much authority to hide the real issues with both counselors and not putting the information out there when people have issues. You know, they're just not fixing the problem. So I think it's a parental thing between the 18 and 21, you know, if the kids are still living at home, but they're 18 years old. They can vote. They can join the military. They should be able to go out and buy a pistol or apply for their pistol permit, get a rifle, get a shotgun, whatever. They should be able to do that. They shouldn't be held responsible for the bad actions of a few.
Talk about your classes that you're offering. You offer some classes and just how people can access that information to be able to sign up for these classes.
I actually work with a friend of mine that we've actually been Buffalo police officers for a long time together. We're both now retired. He's the former range master of the city of Buffalo, and right before he retired, I transferred down to the range, and he's been operating for years, and I've been assisting him with training. And we've got a site. It's newyorkpistolsafety.com. Everything's in lowercase. We've got our own website. You can like us on Facebook. We are the only class that's out there that we actually have a online version. If you log on to Facebook, you log on to newyorkpistolsafety.com, and you log on Facebook with that, you can like us, and it'll send you, it'll give you the information on how to log on to our online course. When you get onto our online course, you got 24 hours to complete your class. You can log in and log out as many times you want, and as soon as you complete the class in its entirety, that there will be a certificate, New York State safety certificate issued, so you can apply for your pistol permit.
We touched base on a lot of different things, but is there anything else that you care to add to our conversation about being more strict on gun laws or anything else that we haven't touched base on?
I think there needs to be, mental health needs to be more clearly identified, especially when there's a problem person, whether it's an 18-year-old kid, a 16-year-old kid, a 15-year-old kid with tendencies, with adults. Same thing. There needs to be outlets for people to be mandated when it's dictated that they need mental health counseling or some sort of service, which we used to have, but budgetary constraints have cut all of this stuff out. And people need to be held to a standard. They need to be held to a standard. And bad behavior needs to be addressed and penalized. When it comes to gun offenses, if the governor wants to fix something as far as gun offenses go, well, you know what? Increase the mandatories on illegal gun offenses. Just a mere possession. They throw the mere possession out because it's 1 year in a state facility. Well, the state doesn't want to pay for the 1 year for just the mere possession. So the state kicks it back to the counties, and while the counties just wind up getting rid of the charge because they can't house them if they convict them on a gun charge for just mere possession because it's a year. You can't house them in county at a year. You got to house them in state. So that's where the problem is, why you've got the shootings the way that you do, why they're out of control, because the gun charge is always dropped. So they can get shot, they can get charged several times without actually being formally charged and being held to that standard. Some of these federal programs like the Trigger Lock and Project Exile, maybe they need to be reintroduced. It's, and bail reform has turned into just be a, it's a savings thing for the states is all it is. It's the state and the federal government are saving money. It's got nothing to do with improving the quality of life for anybody because bad behavior is not being penalized. And that's where it all comes from. It's nobody's held responsible for bad action, for their own actions. So, and that's what we've actually got a podcast coming up. We're starting next week. And our podcast is we want absolutely nothing to do with politics. It's we're bringing in instructors from on the show with multiple disciplines from multiple agencies and from just around the country. Anybody we can get our hands on, and we're just going to discuss basic safety issues, safe handling and storage, home protection, combat shooting, basic marksmanship, competitive shooting, safe handling and storage. We'll be able to answer questions to individuals that. That are specific for them. A lot of people don't like to get into shooting programs because they're uncomfortable with their own abilities, so they kind of don't do it. There's nobody really has individual shooting platforms to house one-on-one shooting. And, you know, we're going to be able to give resources to be able to do stuff with that. And like I said, it's going to be a non-political platform because politics has no place in the firearm safety discussions. And politics and our belief are it's a two-party agenda and vote-geared, vote-driven, opinion-orientated machine. That's all it is. It does not educate the aspects of firearm safety of anything. Take a look. I mean, here's just two ones that everybody knows about, the Brandon Lee and then the Alec Baldwin thing. It's got nothing to do with anything than just unsafe practice, just uneducated, dumb things. Accidents happen, but with safety and guidance, you know, we can get past a lot of this. Maybe mandate safety, more safety programs. But once again, you're only affecting the good law-abiding people. We're not getting to the problem. We're not getting to the problem. We're not getting to the problem with the mental health crisis that's being designed or disguised as gun violence. And we're not getting the bad guys off the street that are causing the majority of the issues.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.